Trip Del Mar. They're doing the hands. Okay. And armor. We have some from Freeman, I believe. There you go. All right. Any from Parkston? I don't know if we had any Parkston here. Okay, so thanks for coming, I tell you. Thanks to, how'd you like the pork loin? You bet. They smoked that all day. One of the guys even had to miss church this morning. So he told me. So, and thanks for Scotland crew that brought all the bars and that side of the meal. So thank you. We're just excited here. We're going to have a great service. We've wanted to do this for a long time, and it's happening tonight. So praise the Lord. Just a couple things before I pray. There is leftover pork loin. They have it in bags, a pound and a half, I believe. If you'd like, that'd be $5. And a pack of colony buns. They're from Jamesville, I think. I don't know if there's a dozen in a bag or how much for sure. None of the guys are in here. But that's $5 too for a bag of buns, $5 for a bag of the pork loin if you would like afterwards. For the young people and all the visitors, so we have restrooms here in the narthex. There's also restrooms down in the Sunday school wing if you need to know where they're at. Lastly, just a little bit about the offering. That is for Ty Balvin, and who is a student from Freeman. And thank God for his mercy. We're seeing some pretty amazing miracles in that young man's life. I saw a video yesterday where he was in a wheelchair. He's in a rehab hospital down in Freeman, and he was shooting baskets with both hands. They had thought, yeah, praise the Lord. The initial reports were that the right side was going to be completely paralyzed. So to God be the glory. It's a long ways to go yet. We need to continue praying for him and his family. And that's where the offering will go to this evening. So I guess this is probably more for the adults. If you were desiring to give and had a check or something, if it isn't made out, you just make it to the Salem Reformed Church here, and then we'll put it together and send one offering down. Okay? So, let's open with prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. This just brings joy to our hearts, seeing all these young people together from the different communities. And I thank you for everyone that has been a part of organizing and helping get this together, from the praise band here, from Armor to Scotland Community Church, and Creedon's helping, and I know we have the churches in Menno here, Grace Lutheran and Peace, and Zion Lutheran in Scotland, and others, I'm sure. Thank you, Lord, for all the youth leaders that work with their students throughout the year, encouraging them and pouring your word into their hearts. Father, we are here to just lift our voices in praise to you, and that you would be glorified through all that is said and done. And thank you for Casey Comstock, coming up from Omaha to share with us as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Well, we are Heaven's Hitchhikers. We are from Armor. We're super excited to be here tonight. How are we feeling tonight? I think we can do a little better. We need some energy tonight. How are we feeling tonight? So we got a few rules, and we have some pretty fun songs that we're going to be singing tonight with some fun action. So how many of you like to dance? Well, that's not too many of you. How many of you will dance if we ask you to? All right, so for anyone who wants to come do the actions, we'd love it if you stood up and came up front here, because there's plenty of room up here. We like it nice and close. Anybody going to make the first move?
She's really just trying to say, come up here right now.
Hope.
She means please fill the pews, like fill the area, you know.
All right, let's try this. On the count of three, everybody stand up. One, two, three.
You guys can't count.
Now on the count of three, everybody merge to the middle. One, two, three.
Five.
Oh,
three.
Almost there.
All
right, tonight if you're looking for the actions to do and you're not quite sure what you're doing, that's fine. But if you're confused, look at Dylan right here. Dylan, raise your hand. Everybody see him? If you see him, say, I see you, Dylan.
Yeah.
receive the offering here while they're doing holy water. Just a moment. Let me have a prayer over that. The ones that are helping, you can know who you are. You can go to the back. The two that are doing the offering. Just starting. Oh, yeah, come up front. I'm sorry. We're under the right. Okay. So Micah and Peter beside Aiden and Austin beside. So let's have a prayer. Okay. Heavenly Father, we lift up Ty. Lord, some know him very, very well here. Some of us maybe hardly at all. But you know him inside and out. Father, you have a plan for that young man's life. We thank you for your mercies, Lord. That by your mercies, you spared his life. We thank you for the healing that has taken place in amazing measures. Father, I pray for Ty, for his mom Tina, for his brothers Hunter, and not sure all the names of the family, but you know them. I pray that through all of this, that they are drawn ever closer to you every day, realizing how awesome you are, and that we just have a chance to have a small part in helping them with the needs of all the hospital stays and everything that that involves. So we ask that you would bless these gifts tonight, Lord. Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
So this next one is called Shake Another Hand, and we're going to be saying some different things to do, and you guys can go around.
My goal would be to encourage you to try to hit as many people in each direction as you can.
Thank you. Can we give up for the band one more time? That was amazing. And thank you for participating. Like, I'm not sure there's many places you can go where you can actually bump a rump and tweak a cheek. So, like, I mean, you should be thankful that you can do that in a place like this. So it's good to have fun. It's good to be here. I truly believe, like, this is what heaven's going to look like, right? You got Menno, Armour, Trip Delmont, Scotland. I knew Parkston was not going to make the cut. I just knew Parkston was not going to make the cut. Is this being recorded? If it is, we'll scratch that. But in all seriousness, it's so good to be with you today. I'm just going to go ahead and pray for us, if that's okay. Father God, you are so good. So good that you're sending your son Jesus for us. All of us, we're nobodies. That no matter what, you would still send your son for us. No matter what we've done, no matter what we've been through, that you would love us, send your son for us, and continue to do a work in us. So God, I just pray that today, that if nothing else comes out of today, that we know that we're loved by you, and that we don't have to just worship you on a Sunday morning, but any time of the day, any day of the week, you are worthy of our praise, you are worthy of our worship, and just thankful for this opportunity. It's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody says, amen.
Amen.
All right, well, so good to be here. You know, so I didn't know my parents were going to be here, so I had to cut out about half the stuff I was going to say. So we'll get out of here at a pretty decent time. But I have a question for you. We're going to come back to this question as well. But here's the question. If you could change one thing, what would you change? You don't have to yell your answer out yet, but thank you for participating. But if you could change one thing, what would you change? Would it be something personally? Something in your family? Something in your community? Something in the world? Like, we're going to come back to that question in a second. That's what we're going to be talking about today. But here, I have another question for you. Who here likes fishing? Anybody? You can raise your hand. It's okay to raise your hand. You should have been, like, if you were in the back, you missed out. There were these two girls up here dancing. Like, it was a picture of what Jesus said, like, hey, come to heaven, come to the Father like a child. Like, they were just busting up moves. It was amazing. So it's okay to raise your hand. It's okay to engage. But, you know, fishing, like, my dad's a huge fisherman. Like, I did not get that gene. It was not passed on to me, but recently, over the last 2 years, I became a big brother in the Big Brother program. My little brother's name is Damari. We get to hang out for a couple hours every month, and it's just been fun to get to know him, but one thing he likes to do is he likes to fish. So then all of a sudden, since he likes to fish, I now all of a sudden have to learn how to fish. So here's the deal. We went two summers ago. We started going fishing at these little ponds. First time we go fishing, guess how many fish we caught? Nailed it. Zero. Went about a month later, guess how many fish we caught?
Zero.
Zero. Oh my gosh. Like, you know the answers. Went one more time that summer, and guess what happened? Didn't catch a single fish. Can be discouraging, right? Could be discouraging. But then all of a sudden, the next summer comes around, and I have a five-year-old son. And so me, Damari, and my son, Cohen, we go fishing at this pond. The first time my son puts his line in the water, guess what happens? The stinking kid catches a fish. Like, I couldn't believe it. Like, how is this even possible? And you just know, like, he is not, like, this world amazing fisherman by any means, right? But something changed. And then it was crazy. Then all of a sudden, Damari, he caught a fish. I caught a fish. Like, it was amazing. Like, the floodgates of fish opened up, and we're just catching fish like crazy. But here's the deal. Like, what happened? Maybe. They actually put fish in the pond. That could be possible. But something happened, right? Something had to change. Something had to change for that to happen. You know what the change was? We used corn, right? The first couple of times we went fishing, we used the same bait over and over and over. But nothing happened. Nothing changed. It wasn't until we changed what we were doing that something changed. Just crazy, right? Now, there's a couple of things that could be that. Like, you know, since I didn't know how to fish, I didn't know much about fishing, like, I didn't know what bait to use. I didn't have a clue what to use. So, but then all of a sudden, like, maybe I actually talked to a couple of people and said, hey, maybe we should try this. Then all of a sudden, like, oh yeah, I should try that. But once I knew I had to change something, I had to make a choice. Was I going to keep doing what we were doing? Or was I going to actually start doing something different. Right? How much did I want to catch a fish? All right? How much did I actually want to catch a fish? Was I willing to change what we're doing to actually catch something? And so that's the title of the message. The title of the message is Change Up. Say change up. Oh my gosh, we'll have to try that again. Say change up.
Change up.
All right, so a change up. I need to change up what we're doing when we're fishing, but there's been many times in my life where I need to change something. Most of the time, those changes came without me even knowing I needed to change, right? A lot of times, the things in my life I was doing, I didn't know I needed to change them, all right? But then once I found out a change needed to actually happen, I had a choice to make. Was I actually going to change? Was I willing to change? Was I willing to get uncomfortable because of the changes that needed to be made? Like, and that's a question here I want to ask us today is, are we willing to see if there's a change in our lives? Is there something that we do need to change? Are we willing to make that change? And then that goes back to that first question I asked is like, if there's a change we could make, what would that be and what are we willing to do about it? So in my life personally, all of a sudden something happened when I made a decision to follow Christ. Like, there were things that I was doing that I probably shouldn't be doing. All of a sudden I had to make the choice of, hey, am I going to continue doing the weekend party scene? Or was I actually going to truly start worshiping God on a Sunday? Was I really going to start reading my Bible and praying? Right? I was made aware of a change that needed to happen, and I wasn't actually going to do something about it. Right? All of a sudden, like, what I do with my money? Am I going to keep spending on whatever I want? Am I actually going to start giving back to God my tithes and my offerings? Once again, I was made aware of a change that needed to happen, but was I willing to do the things that needed to happen to make that change? Another one was, like the things I said. Was I going to continue to put people down? Or was I going to start speaking words of encouragement to people? So throughout my life, many changes have had to happen. The main thing is I had to make a decision to change. And that's for all of us here. All of us here have to observe our lives, take a look at our lives, and see if there's a change we need to make, and are we willing to make that change? Because you need to know that, like if you want to see a change, you have to make a change. Right? If you want to see a change happen, you actually have to make a change. Right? If you keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, that's a definition of insanity if you keep getting the same results. If we would have kept going fishing, if we would have kept using the same bait over and over and over and not caught a fish, we would have quit pretty quickly. But observing a change needed to happen so that we could actually do and get the results we wanted to get. So I have a couple questions I want to ask you, because I don't know where you're at in your life. I know some of you. I don't know all of you. I don't know what you've gone through, what you've been through. I have no idea what your family life is like. I have no idea where you are with Jesus. But I know we can probably all relate on some things, right? I'm sure there's something here we can relate on. I just want to ask a couple questions, and then maybe you can relate that. Maybe you're sitting here like, maybe you're asking a question like, maybe you've never asked this question actually. Like, why do I do what I do? I had no idea why we used the bait we used. We just used it. Do you ask that question when you do something? Like, why do I do what I do? All right? There's several reasons why we do what we do, right? Our thoughts, the behaviors, our past, our emotions, our friends, who we surround ourselves with. Like, there's several reasons why we do what we do, but we need to ask the question, like, why do I do what I do? And then the next thing is, like, what area in our life do I need to change? Like, what should I change? And then why should I change? Am I willing to make the change? So here's some questions I want to ask you, and maybe these will sink in, maybe these will hit home, but here's six questions that maybe will help you think of something that you might need to change, right? The first question is, do family and friends say you have a problem? All right? If they do, then that might be the thing you might need to change, right? Do you continue to do what you do, even if you are hurting someone else? Do you arrange your time, your spending, your priorities around that thing that you do? Can you go 1 week without doing it? Is it driving others away from you? Are you denying that it's even a problem and keeping it a secret from someone else? And these are just questions to get you thinking about your life. And what are you doing? Right? These are questions that will help you maybe realize that you're doing something and that change needs to be made. And then the big question is, are you willing to make the change that needs to happen? Because once again, if you want to change, you have to make a change. And we also need to know that we have a God that is good enough. We have a God that's powerful enough that no matter what you've gone through, no matter what you've done, he can change you where you're at, and he can push you to your purpose. Because I don't know if you believe it or not, but you are truly God's masterpiece. He has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you, but we can't walk in that plan. We can't seek that plan out if we have other things that are distracting us from that purpose. So we need to figure out what that is. What's distracting us? What lie are we believing, right? We all have lies that we believe. For me, that lie was always, am I good enough? Will I ever be good enough? Like, will my past dictate so much of my future? I made mistakes, so many mistakes. So I have this lie in my mind that will I ever be good enough? And that's where Ephesians 2:10 is like my life verse. Ephesians 2:10 says, I am God's masterpiece. Each and every one of you is God's masterpiece. You were created anew in Christ Jesus for the works that he planned for you long ago. Right? That's something I tell my son over and over again. He is loved, and he is God's masterpiece. I need to tell myself that daily, because there are days those lies come back in my mind. So what lie are you believing? And do you truly believe that God can change you? That God can change your family? That God can change your community? That God can truly change the world? Do you believe that? Should we believe that? Right? Do we believe that God can change the world? I want to share with you Ephesians 4, 21 through 24. It says this. It says, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Every day I need to remind myself to put on this new nature. I am no longer who I was. I am who God made me to be. I walk in that every day. So we're not alone in this, right? We're not the only people that ever struggled with a change that we need to make. Like, if you look through the Bible, there's people that probably struggle way more than we have ever struggled. Look at David. Look at all of the look at the disciples. Like, people have struggled throughout the history of the Bible. But we're going to look at that. If you have a Bible, I'd encourage you to go to the book of Luke. It's in the New Testament. It's one of the Gospels. So we're going to start in Luke 5, verse 1. But before we do that, I'll give you time to open up your Bibles if you haven't. I want to catch you up to speed here. So in Luke, what's happening here is the first part of Luke, the birth of John the Baptist and Jesus being foretold. Right? John the Baptist was to foretell the way of Jesus. He was to prepare the way for Jesus. So John is born, Jesus is born, and then all of a sudden, as they get older, you'll find Jesus spending time in the temple. He's growing in wisdom. He's growing in stature. Like, Mary and Joseph had an amazing parenting moment. I've never done this, so I'm like, you know, I'm doing pretty good as a parent, right? I have never left my son at church, right? Mary and Joseph left Jesus at church for 3 days. Like if you're a parent and you have not done that, you're way to go. You're doing great. Like, that's awesome, right? But He was in his father's house. He's growing in wisdom and stature. All of a sudden, around the age of 30, John the Baptist baptizes Jesus, right? The heavens open up, the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove falls on Jesus, and then God the Father speaks, this is my beloved son, right? This is my beloved son. And here we go. Jesus is going to be starting his ministry, and what happens after Jesus gets baptized? The Holy Spirit sends him to the wilderness for 40 days. For 40 days in the wilderness, he's tempted by Satan, by the devil, three times. And each time he's tempted, he quotes scripture to him. He gives him scripture. So Jesus comes out of the wilderness, and that's where we're at here. He comes out of the wilderness. He starts healing people. He starts proclaiming his message that the kingdom of God is near. He starts talking about how, hey, the good news of the kingdom is here, and that is me. And here is Jesus' message. And here we are in Luke 5 at the waterfront. So if you want to follow along with me, you may, but Luke 5, verse 1, it says this. One day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. So this is a pivotal moment, right? You can be a part of the crowd, and you could be maybe listening to Jesus and hearing the word of God, but it's not until Jesus gets in your boat that life change happens. Here it is, Peter, in his boat, invites Jesus into his boat, and that's where I believe life change truly happens. Like, we can go to church every Sunday, but we still might know Jesus. I'll say that again. We might go to church every Sunday, but we still might not know who Jesus is. Verse 4 says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. So first and foremost, Jesus actually asks Peter, another gospel, if he can go into Peter's boat. Like Jesus asked Peter, hey, can I go in your boat? Once Jesus is in Peter's boat, now all of a sudden he starts telling him what to do. Now Peter has a decision to make. Am I going to actually listen to Jesus and do what he says? All right? Am I actually going to listen to Jesus and do what he says? And it's just crazy what happens here, because verse 5 says, Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. So Peter here, he's the fisherman. This is his livelihood. This is what he did. He caught fish. He's supposed to catch fish, but he spent all night not catching a single fish. That would probably be pretty discouraging, right? There were several times when me and Damari left fishing very discouraged. Like, I don't know if we want to do this again. But Peter and the other fishermen spent all night fishing. And here comes Jesus saying, hey, I'm going to ask you to change something. I want you to do something different, right? I want you to do something. I want you not only to not go fishing at probably the wrong time of day, right? This is the morning. You should probably go fishing at night. But I'm going to have you go fishing during the day. And I don't want you to just go in the shallow area. I want you to go in the deep area. I want you to do something different. I want you to change something up. So here's a pivotal moment for Peter. Is he truly going to listen to Jesus? Is he going to be willing to change something? And we're going to see what's going to happen here in a moment. So the next verse here says, and this time the nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, oh Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man. For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. So once again, it's amazing what happens. Like, it made no sense. No sense for Peter to do what he did. Like, what Jesus instructed him to do made no sense. And why would he do that? Why would Peter do that? Like, he knew how to fish. He's been doing it for a long time now. But all of a sudden, Jesus shows up. He says, hey, I need you to do something different for me. And that was a step of faith. And when we take a step of faith, we have no idea what's going to happen when we take that step. But do we trust God enough? Do we trust him enough to listen to him to actually do it and know that the results are all in his control? Because once we trust God enough to do something for us, the results are no longer on us. Like, we don't have to get the results anymore. Like, that's good news for you. I don't know if that speaks to you or not, but like, once we start listening to God, the results are no longer ours. Like, he is in complete control if we trust him with everything we have. If we completely surrender our lives to him and we start being faithful in the things he asks us to do, the results are on him. It's no longer on us. So for me, that's good news. That's good news for all of us. The next verse says, Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. So once again, Jesus here is asking Peter to do something else, right? Peter's livelihood was from fishing for fish. Now Jesus is asking him to go fish for people. He was no longer going to be drawing fish into the boat. He was going to be drawing people into the kingdom of God. So once again, Peter had to make another decision. another decision. Jesus is asking me to do something else now. And it's amazing. Once we start being faithful with the things he's asking us to do, it's easier to say yes to the bigger things he asks us to do. Right? Throwing the net over the other side of the boat and going a little deeper wasn't that big of a deal in the grand scheme of things. That was not that big of a deal. Peter did it. Jesus was faithful. He took care of the results. But now Jesus is asking him to do something different, something bigger. And as we take a step of faith, as we take each step of faith, all of a sudden our faith grows, our trust grows, so that we can do crazy things that might seem crazy to someone else. But to us, it's not that crazy because we've been doing it all along. Like if someone would tell you, if someone had told me 10 years ago, Casey, on November 17th, at 7 p.m., whatever time it is, you're going to be in Menno, South Dakota, talking to a youth group. I would laugh at them, give them a high five, and tell them to get out of here. Because 10 years ago, my life was nowhere near where it's at today. 10 years ago, I was ignorant to the changes I need to make. 10 years ago, I was living a very selfish life, a life all for me and things I wanted to do. 10 years ago, I met a man named Jesus. I said yes to Jesus. All of a sudden, he started asking me to do some things, right? I talked about some of these things before, but all of a sudden, it was no longer just about going to church. It was about spending time with him daily, by reading my Bible, by praying, by actually being surrounded by other people that could help me learn and grow. 10 years ago, someone had told me to do those things. I thought you're crazy. Like, I don't need that stuff. I'm good. I'll take care of myself. But once again, as you take a step of faith, it's amazing what will happen. And then here's the crazy thing is I remember the day like it was yesterday, November 1st, 2013. I have a degree in business finance. I'm working at Wells Fargo. All of a sudden, this church I've been a part of up in Sioux Falls called Celebrate would ask me, as I was volunteering in the kids ministry for a long time, all of a sudden they say, hey, Casey, have you ever thought about being a kids pastor? I'm like, a what? A kid? No, I had never had that thought in my mind. Like, that was never crossed my mind. But here's the thing. It was one of the ways that Jesus was calling me into something different. He's like, Casey, hey, you've been doing these things for a long time. I want to change something up in your life. I have something more and better for you. So because of the things I was doing prior to this moment, all of a sudden this leap of faith to leave a full-time gig at Wells Fargo to go work full-time at a church, all of a sudden wasn't that big of a deal. I've had people tell me, hey, Casey, you should do a pros and cons list. You should maybe really weigh these odds. But I just knew that I knew that I knew that that was a decision I was supposed to make because of what God's been doing in my life up until that point. So I'm at this church called Celebrate. I'm doing kids ministry. I did some young adult ministry. I was a campus pastor at this huge, like 4,000 people church. Like, just unreal, right, what God was doing in this church. And here I am, a campus pastor. Like, I was not qualified to be there. I was not qualified to do what I was doing. But each step of faith, the results are no longer mine, but they were God's. And so I had this amazing gig. I'm getting paid to do ministry, to be this campus pastor. And all of a sudden, once again, God starts asking me to do something else. Right? He's asking me to do something else. He said, hey, Casey, what you're doing in Celebrate in Sioux Falls, we need to do it everywhere else. Every zip code needs a life-giving church. So I want you to be a part of church planning. At that point in time, I had no idea what church planning was or is. Like, I just thought there's churches there. People go to those churches. But I don't know if you know this. Like, the church isn't doing that well when it comes to new people coming to faith. Like, not many churches are multiplying. Most churches are either plateauing or declining. So that's where church planning comes into play. All of a sudden, God starts asking me, hey, Casey, what would this look like for you? So this crazy guy named Monty Gannon would say, hey, Casey, we're going to go to Omaha, Nebraska. Do you want to help us start a church? Crazy, right? Leaving our house, leaving everything we knew in Sioux Falls, leaving a full-time ministry job that I got paid to do. I was going to leave that job that I got paid to do to go do ministry on a volunteer basis. Just crazy, right? Just crazy. But once again, once you invite Jesus into your boat, once you start saying yes to him to do the things he's asking you to do, all of a sudden your trust in him grows and grows and grows. So for the past 2 years, you've been in Omaha, Nebraska. And it's been just amazing to watch God do what he's been doing. Like, I say 250 people are there on a weekend, but that's not even half of the story. The stories of life change. The number of people that would say they're atheists coming into those doors and saying yes to Jesus, like, it's just been amazing to watch what God has done. I look back to every time I said yes, and I wonder if at any point in that journey, where would I be if I would have said no? Like, what if I would have said no during that journey? Like, what if I wasn't willing to even realize that I needed to make a change? What if I wasn't even willing to make the change? I couldn't even fathom where I'd be at. I couldn't even fathom the number of lives that could have been changed that would go unchanged because of that. So I have no idea what God has in store for me next. Actually, I do have a pretty good idea. I shouldn't say that. I'd be lying if I didn't. I know that through Meadows Church, we're going to be starting a new church out of that this coming year. And I'll be a part of that. I'll be leading that. But I truly believe that this next step of faith is probably the biggest step ever that I've taken. But once again, I could sit here and say I'm definitely afraid of that. To go start a new church, to be the lead guy of that. But once again, God has been so faithful these last 10 years, the results are no longer mine. I know there's people in Northwest Omaha, that need Jesus, that need life change. And if I say no to this, I don't know what's going to happen. So I tell that story to hopefully encourage you that no matter where you're at, if you want to make a change, if you want to see a change, you need to make a change. You'd be willing to take that step. No matter how scary it looks, maybe it's not even that scary, but maybe you just need to stop looking to your friends and caring what they think about what you're going to do. Maybe it doesn't matter what your past was that will dictate your future, because your past does not prevent you from filling out your purpose. There's no way that God will let your past prevent you from doing anything for him. More likely than not, your past will become a part of God's plan for who you're going to reach and who you're going to teach about Jesus. Because your test becomes your testimony, and lives will be changed through your story. And that's amazing for me, because I get to talk to people about all my struggles. I get to talk to people about how many times I've screwed up, so I can help them on their journey, so I can help them encourage them to go where they need to go as well. So as we talk about this, as there's a few things that, like, we just need to know, right? No matter where you're at, a question is, where are you at with Jesus? Is he in your boat? Like, is he in your life? We'll talk more about that, what that truly means, all right? But what is Jesus been asking you to do? Is there anything he's been asking you to do? Like, what do you need to be made aware of that you need to change? Is there anything? Maybe you got it all figured out, because if you got it all figured out, you should be up here and not me, because trust me, I still have things I need to change. I tell people that I grew up on a farm, and one of the things we did a lot of was pick rocks. Anybody else ever pick some rocks? Oh, man, this is amazing, right? It's fun. But as you're picking rocks, like, it's easy to see the big rocks, right? It's very easy to see the big rocks. It's once you start making a couple passes, the big rocks are gone. All of a sudden, these little rocks are there. That's my walk with Jesus. Like, right away, there's some big boulders in my life that I need to change. Over time, all of a sudden, God started revealing these other little things I need to change. All these things that maybe, hey, Casey, you're doing this, and that's not very godly. Hey, Casey, you're saying this, but that's not very encouraging. Like, Casey, maybe you should stop saying that, because that's not the full truth. Like, there's things that God started revealing to me that I had no clue were even wrong to do. But it wasn't until I was made aware of those things, and it wasn't until I was willing to make those changes, and it wasn't until I started surrounding myself with people that would help me change. Like, for some of us here, we're hanging around people that we shouldn't be hanging around with, because they're not doing you any good. For me, that was the biggest change I had to make. Not that I didn't like those people. I just didn't want to do what they were doing anymore, because that just made me go back in my walk with Jesus. So if that's you, make the decision. Do you have enough faith to make that decision? I say all this because as I was thinking about this, like back when I was your age, what do I wish someone would have told me back then? Like, what would be the one thing I wish someone would have told me back then that would have probably changed the rest of my life? For me, I had to think a lot about this, but for me, it's been on this journey of church planning. But for me, it would have been this. Like Jesus' message and his methods matter. Jesus' message and his methods matter. Like, both those things, the message of Jesus Christ and how he started a movement 2,000 years ago matter. Right? It has the power to change my life. It has the power to change your life. It has the power to change the world. Like, I wish I would have been told that. Or probably better yet, I wish I would have listened. Like, I probably was told that, but if I would have only listened. So Jesus' message, right? That he came. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the only way to the Father. Like, he came that no matter where we're at, that while we were still sinners, he would die for us. That his death, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, that's the message of Jesus, right? That he came to save each and every one of us. And the crazy thing is, his methods are just as important, right? You ask, what are you talking about, his methods? Like, Jesus is very strategic. He was very intentional in what he did, right? If you think about it, his inner circle was three disciples, right? His inner circle was three disciples. He had the 12 disciples as a whole. He was very intentional about doing life with those. Question for you. How old do you think the disciples were when Jesus called them to follow him? Maybe you never thought about that. Two? Not quite two. Good guess, though. Like, a lot of times, they're depicted, and there's movies and pictures of them looking like they're 30, maybe 40 years old, right? Like, most of the time, you see those movies, and they look that way. Probably not true. More likely than not, Peter is probably the oldest at 20 years old, more than likely, around that age, scholars believe. Everybody else is younger than that. So think about that. 15, 16, 17 years old. That Jesus would give these disciples his message. He would trust them enough with the message of his life. And from that, the method that he did to teach them about the kingdom of God, all of a sudden, 2,000 years later, here we are today. Think about that. Like, that'd be like Jesus right now telling you guys, you have the power to change the world. Right? You have a message that could change the world. Not just the world, your world. Not just your world, but your friend's world, right? No matter what someone's going through, Jesus' message has the ability to change you. It has the power to change you, right? So here's the deal. Like, I don't know if you have friends that are struggling, family members that are struggling. Like, do we believe that his message can change them? Do we believe that this message can go forth and for another how many ever years left, we can continue to change people's lives because of the message of Jesus? And it just blew my mind when I heard even that question asked, like, how old were the disciples? Like, that's just, it's just amazing that he would entrust this amazing message and method with that. So what does that mean for each and every one of us? Right? Maybe our lives need to change a little bit. Like, how important is that message to us? Did we say yes to Jesus one time and that was it? Then the rest of life, we just kind of do what we do, and, you know, one day we'll go to heaven? I don't think that's what he intended with the message. Jesus' message was meant to change our lives daily. Because once again, I need it, you need it, we all need it. But here's the deal, once we are saved, once we accept that message, once Jesus is in our boat, that great commission, what he said, right? Jesus said that all authority has been given to me. I don't know if you know this, but all means all. Not some, not half, but all authority has been given to me. All authority has been given to me. And it goes on to say, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He is with us. He's been given all authority, and he's given us a mission to seek out those who are struggling, to seek out those who are hurting and to give them this message of hope, of love, of faith that can truly change someone's lives. So obviously we took the offering for a young man that, by the grace of God, is still with us. I don't know who he is here that may be struggling with the same thing. I don't know what you're struggling with. No idea. But I need you to know that Jesus loves you. He died for you. He is with you. And he has a purpose and a plan for you. And part of that plan is to take that message and take it to the next person. Like, you might be sitting here and asking, like, Casey, why would you travel 3 hours to Menlo, South Dakota? Like, Casey, why would you bring two friends, Blake and Michael, with you to Omaha, from Omaha to Menlo, South Dakota? Because of that message. Because my life has been drastically changed by Jesus. Their lives have been drastically changed by Jesus. And we can't, we are that song we just sang, that nobody, we are a bunch of nobodies. Nothing special about us, but there's something very special about the message of Jesus. That we would travel 3 hours to be here with you today, because we know you are loved. And you need to know, as a church plant, like, we've had a long day. Like, you guys have it made here in a building. Like, we have to get up before 6:30. We have to show up at the church. We have to set up the church. We didn't get done tearing down everything until, like, 2 o'clock today. It's like, that's how much we love you guys. Like, we would do anything for you, right? But that's a joke. We would do anything for you, that's true. But here's the deal. Because of the love that we've received, we'll do stuff that makes no sense to anyone else. If I told my friends what I just did today, they'd be like, you're crazy. What are you doing? Why would you do that? And I have to tell them, because I have been changed. I was willing to see that a change needed to be made, and that change was saying yes to Jesus. And then from there, being saved and receiving that message, all of a sudden, the decisions I make are no longer my own decisions. All of a sudden, I want to listen to what he's saying to me, because he's saying something to me, and there's things I need to change, but it's my job to hear those things, to know what he's saying. Am I willing to take a step? Am I actually willing to change? I truly believe, if I would have heard this, if I would have believed that to see a change, you need to make a change, and if I would have truly understood the message of Jesus and the method of Jesus, my life would be drastically different. I miss out a lot of years of life change in other people's lives because of the way I lived. The decisions I made, the people I've hurt. Like, if I would have heard this message, like, if I would have truly believed his message has the ability to change my life, his message has the ability to change anybody's life, and that the method of him, like, there's a reason Michael and Blake are here with me. We spend time together, like, a lot of time together. We spend weekly time together. We're talking constantly, but what we're doing is we're actually learning what it means to be a follower of Jesus, like, memorizing scripture, reading our Bibles together, talking through things. Like, even though we're following Jesus, doesn't mean we're perfect, right? Michael, you're far from it. Blake, you're still further enough too, yeah, but we still struggle, and that's why we need each other. That's why we need community. That's why I can share my struggles with these guys, because I trust them. Maybe the biggest change you need to do right now is who the people you can tell your deepest and darkest secrets to. Do you have someone? If you don't, you need someone. Because we're going to have a dark day. We're going to have a bad day. Life sucks at times. Can we agree with that? Our parents suck at times, right? Can we agree with that at least? Right now we get some engagement. That's great. Just talk about their parents. That was your kid, by the way. Who's just kidding. But here's the deal. I wonder who Ty had in his corner. I do. Like, what if Ty had someone that he could say, hey, this is going on. I'm having these thoughts. I'm believing these lies. Like, what if Ty had someone in his corner that could say, hey, those are just lies. You are so loved. Don't believe that. Like, what if? What if? So I go back to the question I asked at the very beginning. If you could change something, if you could change one thing, what would that be? Because once again, if you want to see change, you have to make change. And then you start believing that it can actually happen. And once you see that a change can happen, find some people that can encourage you, that can pray for you, that can be there for you, even when you don't always get it right. I would not be where I'm at today if it wasn't for the people in my corner cheering me on. So in case you're gonna make a mistake, that's okay. Keep moving forward. So as we wrap up our time here, I'm going to pray for us. I'm actually going to have a time where the band's going to be up here on the stage. And if you need someone to pray with you and for you, if you have a change that needs to be made, or maybe if you want to just ask God to find out what that change is, I'm going to invite you to come forward. Like, take a step. That might be your step today. I'll say, hey, I don't know what that change is, but I'm willing to seek it out. And if you know what that change is, we want to be those people that can encourage you, to pray with you, to be there for you. But here's the deal. Like, what if? What if instead of just going to church, we started being the church?
Yeah.
What if church wasn't just what we did on a Sunday? Like, what if we started believing that the church was us as individuals? That we don't just hear about the good news of Jesus Christ on a Sunday, but we can go be the good news of Jesus Christ to someone on a Monday. Imagine the impact we would have on our community. Imagine the impact we'd have on the world as a whole. I wonder, what if that's a change you need to make? Maybe it's not today, but 3 years, 4 years down the road, as you continue to say yes to Jesus, who knows what he has in store for you? But we start today by making a small change, by saying yes to Jesus and the things he wants to change today. So then down the road, when you become the next church planner, when you become the next pastor, when you become the next worship leader, when you become the next business leader that follows Jesus, all of a sudden when he starts asking you to do something that seems crazy to everybody else, it's not that crazy to you because of the things that you've been doing. So let me pray for us. Father God, thank you. Thank you for your message. Thank you for your method, that we were not meant to do life alone, that we need you. We need to trust you. We put our faith in you. But not only that, that we truly need people in our lives. We were not meant to do life alone. So God, I have no idea what hit home, if anything at all. I pray we just know that we're loved by you. And God, I just pray right now we start asking the questions. Asking the question, like, how I'm living, does it reflect what you did for me on the cross? Help us start asking the questions, what we need to change. But not just stopping there. Help us to make the change. Give us the faith to take the step. Give us the faith to know that you're with us. That when we say yes to you, the results are no longer in our corner. The results are up to you.